This is The Different Football Show. Are you serious? On FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people, welcome back to VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio. My name is Cecil G. Thomas. I'm with Kim Kafari, not just a special guest, but also the producer. More so, he's actually a co-host. But today, he's not sat in my seat. I like that. We are both here in the US of A for the World Cup, which is a privilege and honour. And something that people keep telling me, if you work in sports media, if you work in sports, you have to be here. So it's actually an honour and pleasure to be here first here, but also see my good friend Kim there as well, who's actually living up, I think, a little bit more than me, which hurts me to say. He went from my chair to actually having a great time, being in the right place, I suppose, during the World Cup. My journey is a bit different. I think we kind of half discussed this at the back end of last week's show, that what you were looking forward to and what I was looking forward to. I don't know. I let the audience decide what trek or what path they would have taken, if they would rather go on Cecil's track or if they'll go on Kim's. But I can't lie, I liked what he's doing, what he's been up to. So we're going to get all the information around what Kim has been up to throughout his World Cup journey. Of course, I'll talk about what I've seen and what I've been up to. Funny enough, I'm actually on the way home soon, which is a little sad, actually. A little heartbreaking. But I was, the voice is a bit croaky. The eyes were a little bit squint because I was in New York yesterday and I was enjoying myself. We had some good times.
We were out.
Do you know what it was? It was the final day working with the client. It was the final day where you obviously have to, client schmooze a little bit, take them out for dinner, you know what I mean? And then have a drink. I don't drink. I'm joking. I had a drink as well.
We're still doing that, are we?
I'm not doing that. I had a drink as well, a couple of drinks. And then we sent the client back in the taxi, and then we just stayed out because New York is an absolute melting pot of culture and it's absolutely vibing right now, but I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. It's been absolutely amazing. So yeah, we might as well go through our World Cup journey so far. Now, and do you know what, Kim? Let's pick up from. I'll talk about my path in a second, but let's pick up from yours, because I don't know if you can remember last week, Monday, Sunday. What you were looking forward to doing, and then what has kind of happened since then? What's been going on? Talk to me.
Right. So what I will say is that the last week has been more challenging than the first week. First week was pure vibes. It was just Boston with the Tartan Army, pure vibes. Went to the game. It was incredible. I was with my family. Amazing. Then the last time I spoke to you is when I just landed in Dallas.
Yeah.
And that was 4 days before the England game. Now, Dallas, I had an incredible time. I was on my own for like three nights. I've made Instagram videos about it. One of them, by the way, is blown up. Have you seen? I've gone like super viral on Texas TikTok and Texas Instagram. Because I just made a video about how amazing everyone there was to me and how much of a good time I had. And I've got like thousands of comments and people in my DMs like, next time you can come and stay at my house. Like, next time I'll take you to a shooting range. Come and join my golf club. I'll get you in for free. All this mad stuff.
I just made a video.
I've just been vlogging my time. But obviously, like, they're very proud people, aren't they?
Yeah, I think
they probably get quite a bad rep in the press. And it's just not true. Like, I was there on my own. I think we've spoken about this before. I hate being on my own. I'm not a person who likes spending time on my own. Any bar I was in or any restaurant I was in, literally, it'd be less than 60 seconds. Someone would come and speak to me, invite me to their table, blah, 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 whatever. It was such a good time. However, I spent £700 on an England ticket, and on the morning of the game, the ticket got cancelled. So I was at Texas Live, which is that place right opposite the stadium, so I could see the stadium.
You can see straight through.
I could see the stadium. It was amazing. Obviously, everyone was super excited. Also, if I'm being honest, right, I'm super grateful for this opportunity. But because I paid for myself to come out here, I will probably go home with very little profit, right? Because everything here is so expensive. And I've had to pay for my own tickets. It's so expensive, like Uber's everywhere because you can't actually get public transport because it doesn't exist. Everything's just been mad expensive. So I'm there looking at my bank account, seeing, can I afford another England ticket? I can't. I'm stressed out. Work is saying, oh, you need to get more content. You need to get better content. So I'm trying to get content of England fans, but half of them are half cut. There's kids everywhere. So it's quite hard to like find the right place. Then I'm getting moved on because it's private property. So you can't get content here. You can't do this. So it's just stressful. And I haven't got a ticket. I've been let down last minute. I end up watching it in Texas Live. I shouldn't admit to this, but at halftime, I jibbed into the stadium. I got all the way to the stairs. So I actually got into the stadium with like pretending that I had a ticket inside, but my mates, blah, blah, blah. I got all the way into the stadium. Then as I got in, the security guard was like, oh, mate, your bag is too big. You need to go and drop that off at the lockers, which is outside the stadium, halfway around the stadium. And then we need to check your ticket again. So then I just had to walk back to Texas Live with my tail between my legs. And it was just a stressful day.
Did you pay the £700? Did you lose that money?
The £700. I've now got the £700 back. So that's okay. But obviously at the time, I didn't know that. And also, like, I'm on my own. Like, I'm doing this whole trip on my own. Like, I don't really have like any people who I'm like super close to out there in Dallas at the time. So I'm out on my own. Everyone I'm with is going to the game. They're all just drinking, getting excited for the game. I've just been let down a ticket. I'm also trying to work. But it was just such a really stressful day. And you know those days where just like, I'm in the middle of Texas on my own. I don't know anyone. Everyone's got tickets. I haven't got tickets. I was just like, this is actually really stressful. And I'm looking at my bank account and I'm like, right, I'm basically here. I'm not even making very much money. I'm stressed out. I'm trying to get work. I'm trying to enjoy myself. I don't know anyone. I've been let down a ticket. So that day was a bad day.
You went back to Texas Live to watch the rest of the game.
Went back to Texas Live, watched the game. I thought, bloody hell, England looked really good and it's probably coming home, but we'll discuss that in a bit. But then after that, the next day I flew to Boston. I'm now staying with a family friend on the outskirts in like beautiful suburbia. I went to the Scotland-Haiti game day before yesterday, which was amazing vibes. I got some really good content as well.
You paid for the ticket as well for that.
Paid for the ticket. It's Scotland, Morocco. So yeah, paid for the ticket. But this one was like £450. So it wasn't like, I mean, that is disgraceful prices, bro. But like for this World Cup is okay. So that was great. And then yesterday I met up with Ben Spalding. You know Ben.
Yes, I do know Ben.
Everything's got better. But just that one day in Dallas, I'll be honest, I wasn't having a good time. And I think people need to know that sometimes work is difficult and it's stressful, especially when you're on your own as a freelancer. And maybe you think you're not doing a good job. And then that means you think, oh, maybe they're not going to work with me in the future. It's a stressful day, but I'm having a good time now.
Is that first world problems, or is that actually a fair justification of, no, that this is actually stress? This is, to be fair, £700 on a ticket.
You're in the middle of nowhere, right?
And Texas, then you lose.
You're in the middle of nowhere. You don't really know anyone like that well. You don't feel like you're doing a very good job on the work front, and you've just been let down a ticket, and it's like 35 degrees. And I'm just like, bro, I could just be at home watching this game with my mates in the pub for probably cheaper and have no expectations.
Texas Live is a good place to watch the game, though.
No, I know. Do you know what the problem is, Cecil? Sometimes I just get, you know, like you just get into a mood in your head.
Yeah.
And you just like, yeah. I can't, I can see the stadium. I'm in Texas. I'm surrounded by thousands of England fans. I should be enjoying myself. But because I've had all these like little messages like on the way build up to the game, like you haven't got a ticket, you need to be making better content, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, I've got into my headspace now and I just couldn't get out of it.
Fair. I've been there. Like you said, when things are going wrong and you're trying to, and I know that Texas Live, I know that bar very well. Like you said, you literally look onto the AT&T stadium and you're like,
I can hear them, but I can't get in.
That's what I'm saying. If you're supposed to be in there, that would be a little bit heartbreaking. It's like sitting in Box Park, Wembley, and the game's happening in Wembley stadium. You're like, I can see you lot, but I'm not with you lot. So I get that. That's a shame. That is a shame. I can't lie. I think you're right to highlight as well the ups and downs of doing this. I've met some people that have had some incredible highs on this trip, and I've met some, obviously, people that have had to rough it a little bit and find their way. But the stories are incredible. Even like, you spoke about Ben Spalding, I know he's here. There's actually a load of people here. Like there's a guy called Josh as well, as a West Ham fan doing content. He's absolutely smashing it. I see Ben Forrest, who worked with the FA and he worked at Ball League and he ended up being with like Paris Hilton. And then like she had a pink private jet. He was kind of facilitating her. But on top of that, he was doing what you're doing. So he made daily vlogs of how amazing Texas is. And he was going, he got a video that's got over, like got to 500,000 views just of like the Bulls, like walking through that area with the Cowboys. And I was just like, this video is crazy. But for them, it's normal. But for us, it's like, it's so bizarre. It's so far from reality that like, it's got loads of views, but he's talking about how Texas is just a simulation. Like this is, how is this real?
It's and I'm like, real. Wow. It's not real.
Yeah.
I went to Texas with 4,000 followers on Instagram. I've now got 5,600.
Oh, blimey. You got some love from your video. That is
got some serious love from Texas. Like serious love, like 300K views on just talking about Texas. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's, I like that. That's I like that. Isn't it? Yeah, that's what I love. I love that. It, like you said, the comments, some of the comments were like, oh, when you're going to come back, I'll invite you around and all that. And even Ben's ones was similar. And he ended up being on Fox News actually. And he was just saying like, he's left Texas now. But he was just saying it's an incredible place and the love he got back. So I'm assuming you got exactly the same and rightly so. And I think more places should be proud of their communities. And when they see videos like that, I love the support that people are getting. Like I said, you've got a load more followers and a load more comments and more DMs. It's a really nice thing to see. And I've got a lot of time for that. And one little fun fact as well. People always ask me, Cecil, like you've been to so many states in America and all this, what's your favorite place? I even told a client I was working with, I said, oh, Nashville, Tennessee. And they were like, what? They were like, so you've been to New York, Vegas, LA, all this. And you said, you think that? I said, I went to Nashville with no expectation. I thought it was just good. I didn't even know what I was likely to see. I was just like, okay, I've never been here. I don't really research where I'm going. I was just like, I got put on a job to big up KSI, to eat hot chicken, try hot chicken in Nashville. Which was one of the best jobs ever. But like, I didn't really know what I was gonna see. And then when I got to the airport and got on the plane, I saw a load of Hindus and stag dudes, mainly stag dudes. And I was thinking, I kept speaking to them from England. I said, why are you not coming to Nashville? What is there to see? And when I got there, I went, oh no, this place is incredible. Live music from like morning all the way through to the night. There's like a strip, the honky tonk, like, there's people there, there's cowboys, there's cowgirls, there's people in the streets that are just like wild. It's like, they've got such good energy and everyone's here there for a good time. And I'm just like, this place is incredible. There's Texas barbecues and I was just like, this place is everything. It's obviously got hot chicken and stuff. And I said, yeah, this is one of the best places I've been to. It took me by surprise. Amazing. Yeah, it just took me by surprise. I was just like, I never expected this. And it's amazing.
I won't shy away from the fact that I was more nervous about going to Texas than anywhere else. And literally, as soon as I landed, I was like, nah, this place is so different. Just because of the things you hear on the news, right wing they are, you hear about ICE, you hear about the guns and everything. So I'm like, oh, okay, like, I need to be careful here. But I felt so safe. Everyone was so nice. It was just like, maybe that's the World Cup fever, but I don't think it is, because a lot of the people who were inviting me to their tables and inviting me to play golf with them didn't even really know the World Cup was going on. I think that's just what they're like. Do you know what I mean? It was sick. And now I'm in Boston again. Like, the way that the Scotland fans and the Bostonians have like created a relationship is just something so magical. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy.
I will say, Scotland fans are a different level of fans, like, as in they get everywhere and they embed themselves in, and I've got stories to back this, but I'll kind of run through from obviously last week. I was in San Francisco in a bar in an alley filming this, which, forgive me to the regular listeners and some viewers as well of the show, forgive me for that. It was just a bit of a in between crazy. I'm in full work mode now. I've been able to, like, as you can see, there's lighting, there's good sound. Okay, we're locked in. But like, so I went from San Francisco and I think that was the last night in San Francisco. And to be fair, I'll be real, I've had quite a relaxed World Cup schedule from the people that brought me out here. From my actual schedule of what I'm kind of taking on whilst being here, it's been full on, it's been crazy. I've got a load of things to do as well after this, but that was quite relaxed. So when we finished in San Francisco, we then fly We then fly to Detroit. Now, hear me out. You said you had a bit of a feeling or a bit of nervousness going to Texas. I wouldn't say I had nervousness going to Detroit, but I had... I'm going to pause for one. Oh, you are there. Okay, sorry. You like froze yourself. Okay, carry on. I flew to Detroit and I had a lot of people messaging me saying, why are you going to Detroit? What is there to do in Detroit? By the way, there's no World Cup games in Detroit. Why are you in Detroit? And I took that on that question and thought, okay, I was kind of playing the whole single, only child, spoilt child of why are we going to Detroit? Now, what people don't understand is I'm working for the USL, which is the league underneath the MLS. So it's like the league, it's like the championship in English football. It's the second tier of football. They have a load of football clubs that they're trying to promote. They're trying to get popular and get big. And they're using like UK influencers or sports creators or people that, you know the game very well. Obviously in the States, people do know the game, but an English voice, I think, strengthens the brand. So they're using me to go to their clubs in the USL where they're doing watch parties for the World Cup. So obviously a lot of these clubs are hiring out their stadiums to do big watch parties. So we went to Detroit and in the center of Detroit, they had a massive watch party. But before that, I'm there for 4 days, staying in a pink palace. It's a Best Western. It's a pink palace. It's, I don't know what his first name is, but Ford. The guy who owned Ford is his old house.
Yeah, it's now Henry hotel. Ford.
Henry Ford. Look at you. Knowledge. Automobile knowledge. Like that. So we're staying there. It's haunted. They're trying to tell me, they're trying to pull up the staff are like, well, we've had a few things on cameras and there's been a few stories, but it's not haunted. Obviously, they're trying to protect rap. Yeah. It's haunted, okay?
Yeah.
It's very old, very old-fashioned. It's very classical. The corridors are long.
You might need to say allegedly, by the way, so we don't...
Allegedly haunted. Allegedly haunted.
Yeah, okay.
In my opinion, there's a lot of loud footsteps. There's young people laughing and talking in the night. It could just be people guests arriving. But for me, it felt allegedly filled a little bit. Don't know about this one. But it was all good. And to be fair, you're right. I should say allegedly because this is mainly from my friend Jack, who I'm traveling with, who I'm here with. He was saying he couldn't sleep because of these loud noises. Anyway, so we're there. It's all well and good. I'm in Detroit, and I'm like, why am I here? Apart from Detroit City FC, that's fine. Got a lot of love for that. DC FC, I can't wait to go and meet the team and understand that. But like, what else is there to offer? For me, I just thought it was automobiles and motoring. But I found out, which I should have, again, I don't research places, it's very big for Motown. It's probably it's the biggest state around for Motown, Detroit, Michigan. Loads, we went to a few bars, they're playing Motown. I loved it, live bars, live music, brilliant. Then, obviously, I'm seeing the cars are all unique, amazing. And then things just started to open up. Like, again, like you've done in Texas, you've gone down there. I'm there, videoing little things. I'm meeting people who live in Detroit. And I'm like, this place is amazing. They're telling me what it's famous for, why it's rich in culture, why people stay here, why people come over and have like, they'll go to Europe, but then they come back to Detroit because of like, you know, the quality of not just quality of life, but like, what they've been brought up on, their morals and their ethos of Detroit. And the biggest thing for me was I did a story in Gillies, which is like a sports bar. We watched the England game there. We'll talk about England in a second. They're phenomenal. Someone from StockX, if you're watching, the CEO, you now follow me. You can sponsor VAR. You're serious if you want to sponsor us. We love StockX. I know Kim does as well. He may not, but I'm sure he does. Everyone loves some nice, we love clothes.
Love it.
We love collectibles. So I got a random DM from someone in the UK. She's the marketing something of StockX. She says, oh, I see that you're in Detroit. I would love to offer you a tour around the head office. Now, for me, this is just a random DM. This isn't like, as you may know, people may know, if you get DMs, it goes into a request folder. A lot of the times, I'll be honest, I don't always read them. A lot of times, I don't always open them. But I opened it. I said, I'd love that because why not? We have 5 days here before we have the big watch party. And I want to see Detroit. Bro, it was probably one of the most eye-opening tours I've ever been to. We got in there. The building was incredible. The guy who owned, he wasn't actually there, the CEO, but the people that gave us a tour was just saying like, the guy who owns StockX, he pretty much owns the whole of Detroit. So much so that that he has in the offices, in the actual like floor where they work. He has like a replica model of the city, and every roof that's orange, he owns those buildings. Kim, let me tell you, the guy owns.
That's such a flex.
That is such a flex. It's such a flex. Literally, the whole of Detroit, bar like a church and like, I think there was like three other buildings, which I guess are owned by like the state, he owns. And I'm like, and they're not like little small replicas. It's like a scale big across like a big floor on the building. I said, this is unbelievable. He also, now forgive me people, I think it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was a part owner, because he's obviously very wealthy, of that basketball team. He brought, when they won the championships, he didn't buy it. He removed the floor, the official floor from the stadium and the buzzer, like scoreboard, and put it in the StockX office on like the 17th floor. Bro, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And then he has like a client room where they, you know, they have all the Grail stuff and the dead stock of like, I know this is a football show, but I'm sorry, I love fashion. They had like all the like things, like Jordans that have barely been released, the DJ Khaled Jordans. They got the Eminem. Eminem's a big advocate for StockX. They had like a D12 signed Air Forces that have like never been released. He's got like an Eminem collab for like Air Forces. They had so much Supreme everything, things that you've never, things of your wildest dreams that I don't think I've ever seen in my life. Supreme guitars, Supreme madness. And I was just like, this place is like, for me, a heaven. And obviously I'm starting to do collections now as well. So to all the collectibles out there, shout us. They got like a collectible place as well. They got all like the one of ones. I said, this place is unbelievable. I just said to them, like, if I worked here, you'd have no money. You'd have no money. Yeah. Because see these things, you just spend your whole wages on all these. And at the end of the day, it's business. Like, you can make so much money off the things you get there. And yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was, for me, just a really nice, like understanding. Again, it was like, not like Nashville in the sense of I was so shocked and how much that just like, I loved it. But a shock of like, okay, everyone tell me why you're in Detroit. Have low expectations, and then meeting the people, and again getting embedded with the culture, which I think is what the World Cup does so well. And I want to talk about something straight after this, because I'm disappointed in myself for the past years in my life for not experiencing something like this sooner. But yeah, Detroit was really good. Went to Detroit, then we flew to Brooklyn, which we're kind of, well, I'm in New York, I'm in Manhattan Times Square, and it kind of went to another level. And let's just, sorry, I'm rambling, but let's just go straight to there then, I guess. I got to Brooklyn. We stayed in the Best Western for one night because we're sponsored by it. Just put our head down there. We got in at 2 a.m., woke up, went straight to where I am now in Times Square in the Moxie. And I'm disappointed in myself because I'm a man that's, I love football. I've been a footballer. Yes, granted, because of my career in football, it's not allowed me to be as many games as I would have liked to have. Like I said, when we spoke about this on the show before, when I was younger, instead of being able to go to, I went to Arsenal, but not as much as I do now because I didn't have the privilege of doing it. I was playing football most weekends. I was in professional clubs. But like when it came to tournaments, even though at times I was on pre-season and I was trying to train to get another contract, I didn't take in international tournaments in the way I should have. I never flew to Russia when the World Cup was on. I never flew to, and again, South Africa. But again, these are all privileged. These are all very much like you have to have a certain lifestyle or be very well off or be, well, sometimes not all the time, but I think you have to have that if you're young and doing the World Cup. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because yesterday night at 1 a.m., we're walking around New York City, Kim, and there's these Scotland fans. And I go up to them and I'm like, boys, I don't want to be rude, but how old are you? Like, how old are you? They go, We're 19. And they're like, they've got a big crate of beers. They're with some girls who big them up and they're just in the streets. And I'm like, you're 19. I'm like, you're not even old enough to drink here. And they are having the best time of their lives. And I went to my friend who I'm with traveling and with Jack. He's a Leicester boy. And I said, can you imagine? It's 1 a.m. and you're walking around the streets of New York, enjoying the World Cup. By the way, it's not the only place they've been. They've been around the States at 19 years old. Like all the things they're seeing, I envy them. I said, this is gonna stay with them forever. They're in New York at 19 during the World Cup.
Crazy.
And I just thought, fair play, boys, fair play. You're with your mates walking around the streets of New York and everyone, it's a good vibe. As much as I said, yeah, you guys are what this is all about. So big up all the fans. I'm envious of some that get to experience it at a younger age. I'm a little bit older now, but I don't take away from this experience. It's still been amazing. But big up the World Cup. I honestly, it's actually special. It's actually special. I'll give you some tips and some things that you can go to. There's some bars and some places that I think you're going to love. But I want to know, after this break, your top five moments of the World Cup so far.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
I know what my number one is. I know what my number one is. So I'm saving number one.
Okay, save number one. We'll start. Okay, let's go. Okay, so this is what we've seen. Yeah, go on.
Number five, I would say Curaçao's goalkeeper last night against Ecuador. He almost matched Tim Howard's record for saves of all time. Curaçao, I think, are the smallest nation to ever be in the World Cup.
Yeah.
They drew to Ecuador, which is a big, big footballing country. Obviously, their starting striker is Nicholas Jackson, right? Plays for like Bayern Munich, played for Chelsea. And this guy, whose second name is Room, which is a hilarious name anyway. Don't know why. I don't know why that really tickled me, but a Room is like a thing. But anyway, I'm not going to get all... I'm not going to cuss him out for his name. But unbelievable. That's what the World Cup's about for me. It's like those little moments where there's little people making themselves heroes. That's what I love.
For me, and obviously, I was going to actually put Curaçao in their own bracket, but the goalkeeper is kind of really stealing the headlines. And I'm going to double down on that because this was incredible. From the first game, obviously, they had a really good game. I know they lost 7-1. Obviously, when they scored their goal, that's massive for their nation. First ever goal in a World Cup. But the goalkeeper had such a good game just from the first game that he went from obviously 20,000 for... No, yeah, 12. When people looked, it was actually like 2,000 or 4,000. But when it first started, when the game kicked off, it was on about 20,000. He is now over 10 million followers on Instagram. Now, I'm sorry. That is ridiculous. From one game, 20,000 followers from when the game kicked off to now over 10 million just because of what he's doing in goal. I mean, he's become a household name from this World Cup. He's actually probably changed his whole life just from this World Cup. And obviously the age is, I think he's like 42 or he's like 41, 42. Unbelievable. A man who had obviously a part-time job before is now a World Cup superstar. And he follows the page that have brought me out here. It's called FCBL. And we messaged him and he replied back. He said, thank you. Because he followed the page before this superstar fame that he's got. And I just got to big him up. Like, he's everywhere. He's on the thumbnails from a lot of the videos. He's all over social media. And just from being a good goalkeeper, that's the power of the World Cup. That's actually the power. I've never seen growth like it in my life when it comes to social media following. So big him up. His life has now changed. Yeah, and you just got to credit. You got to credit that. Even his life changed so much. Even in our content that we're doing with the company, we've added him in. And like, out of the goalkeepers, who would you start bench sell? So yeah, man, he's changed his whole life. And it is at a later stage in football. But how beautiful is that? It's incredible. Also, just sorry, again, the stories. You hear so many stories, again. Because I'm not going to say allegedly, but this is a story that I've been told from the people I'm with. And I'm with football people, so I believe it to be true. Curaçao scouted one of their players through LinkedIn. Like
That is crazy, isn't it?
He messaged the coach on LinkedIn and they basically brought him down and he actually made it into the actual national team squad from LinkedIn. So I'm like, this is ridiculous. Considering they're doing... I know they lost 7-1 in their first game, but like they put up a good fight. And then, like you said, the Ecuador vs Curaçao game was 0-0. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it. I'll be honest, I've had an eye on every World Cup game in the first stage. So that every first game I literally watched or covered. The second round of games, I've been either traveling or we've been working. So I've actually kind of missed a lot of the second games, but that's fine. That's fine. I can still give you we can still work with a top five. So that was yours. So yours is the goalkeeper in the last game for Curaçao. For me, number four. Oh. Okay. But see, for me, it's Canada. But obviously, there's a moment that sticks out, which is Ismaël Koné breaking his leg, which is awful to kind of highlight as number four, because it's quite sad. But I just think the way that the nation came together, his reaction, like he's waving off. I know he was on gas and air, but he was really waving off the fans, and he seemed like a good spirits. He's also sent a photo of him when he was in the operation table, and he was smiling. That, like, the reason why it's not about that. The result they got as well was phenomenal. They were unbelievable. I know there was two red cards in their last game as well to the team that they played. So, like, I can't really give, and the team they played was Qatar as well. It was 6-0 in the end. Like, I can't really give. I can give credit. 6-0 in the World Cup is an achievement in itself. I don't care what anyone says. I watched Qatar versus Switzerland. They caused Switzerland problems. So I've got to give him credit to that. But I just think the way everyone came together for Ismaël Koné, who's a really good player, and I have a soft spot for Canada because I've worked with him with CONCACAF. I know a lot of their players. I just want to big him up because I think at that time, it's probably the hardest time for a player because you're in a World Cup. This is your dream. This is what you've worked for at the end of the day. And you're playing for your national team in a host tournament as well of a nation that you play for. I just, one, want to give the light to him and big him up, send my love, but also Canada as well, because I think they actually are coming together and playing really, really well. It's probably the best they've played. And again, I know there was two red cards in that game, but before that, they were looking really, really good in the match, that is. I know they drew to Bosnia, so I'm not gonna talk too much about their last game, but that game, they were flowing. Same with the US as well. To the US. The US is probably going to be one of the numbers I'm going to put in as well after three. Yeah, I'll probably do second. But yeah, so for me, Canada, Ismaël Koné, send all my love. Just a moment. You, Kim, for number three, talk to me.
It's a specific moment that I was at.
Okay, go on.
But I would say yesterday at a pub in the middle of Boston, because the Scotland fans hadn't left yet. The England fans had just started to arrive. There were Norway fans in there. There were German fans watching the Germany game. And everyone just was getting on so unbelievably well. And my main worry for this World Cup was I had assumed, right, that people, there was going to be a lot of scrapping. And we've seen one scrap, haven't we? Was it Argentina against Algeria in Times Square? That's it, though. And I was before football
I haven't seen that. I didn't even see that. So
that's the only one I've seen which has gone around on Twitter. And I just thought, like, how nice it was, right? That there was, like, genuinely, there was one moment, and I wish I'd taken a picture of it. But there was a German fan sat down watching Germany Ivory Coast, and next to him, arm in arm, was an English man, a Scottish man, and a Norwegian fan. And maybe they were Americans who'd all bought the jerseys, but I'm pretty sure they weren't, because I'm pretty sure I heard the accents. And they were all just, like, chatting to each other, just chatting about the World Cup. And I just thought, like, in a time now where everything's so polarizing, we're always being told, like, left versus right, this person's racist, blah, 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 all of this bullshit. And just to, like, see firsthand everyone just getting on, irrespective of nation, I just thought, oh, this is so beautiful, man. This is what it's all about. Like, an England, Scotland and Norway fan in America just all having a chat about football, all getting on, all buying each other pints. It's just like, you can't put a price on that.
I think that's the strongest message I think we're getting from this World Cup is it's just, there's nothing more beautiful than everyone coming together. Like, again, my one would be, okay, again, it's more just like, England, fix up airlines. Why can't you do this? But, like, again, I'm gonna say what it is. No, I'm gonna say something that I really liked, and I'm gonna say what I think number two for me is. What I really liked is when I go to airports, because I've obviously been flying to different states, everyone's in football tops. That is unreal. Yeah. Like, that everyone. It's beautiful. It's actually like everyone is just crossing over in different nations' tops in the airport, and everyone's doing the same nod of, like, appreciation. And great. What I love is, like you said, before we came out here, there's a lot of, like, not Donald Trump himself, but, like, if we see you doing content and all this and you haven't got this and you haven't got that, like, you're going to get deported. And of course, like, that can happen. But, like, it's not, you don't really see that, not even that worry in the airport. You just see a load of football fans coming together, smiling at each other, nodding at each other. Like you said, being at the airport bars, buying each other drinks, asking people, what game have you gone to? What have you watched? That it's just amazing. And I don't know, I just feel like I've been to airports and, yeah, of course, sometimes there's football fans in there, but, like, this is, like, it's mad. You go in and there's just nations tops everywhere. And it's kind of like that in New York, but like in an airport, it's like hyper focused because it's obviously it's the World Cup, and it's really lovely. But that wasn't the main thing. The main thing I'm going to number two for me is why, like, how do we not have live TV World Cup, shall I say, games on planes like they have here in America? Like, I'm being told. I don't get it. I'm flying back when England are playing Ghana, which I shouldn't really admit, but I am. I don't believe I can watch the game. However, when I've been doing internal flights, I've had the World Cup on in every internal flight, no matter what time it is. Why do we not have that? Like, what sort of craziness is that? And you, like, if you fly to in Europe, or if you fly, even if you fly, if you, even if you've got like the 6-hour ones and you've got films, you can't watch a Premier League. Well, not that I know of. I mean, maybe you can, but I've never been able to do that. So, in when you're an American doing internal flights, listen, they got the Fox channel. It's there. It's like the whole plane when I flew was watching the World Cup. I said, this is amazing.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. Great. It's absolutely quality. It's quality. Amazing. But it's not better than number one. Oh. Number one, honestly, it's obviously been publicised a lot, but I cannot believe how lucky I am to have been in Boston for a week watching both of the Scotland games of the Tartan Army. I've never seen anything like it.
Is Boston that good? Can you paint the whole picture? Paint it for me, because I don't know. I thought Boston's... Is anything to do? What's there to do?
Boston itself is an amazing city, and there's quite a lot of similarities between like Boston and sort of like your Manchester's and Liverpool's, like your sort of second big, your sort of second city potentially. There's obviously a lot more in America, and Boston is obviously a lot bigger than both Manchester and Liverpool in terms of like structure, in terms of the buildings are bigger. But it's like one of those cities which, because it's by the water, there's been a lot of immigration. There's loads of Irish. There's loads of Brazilians here, there's loads of Haitians here. So it's got like a huge immigrant population. And it's also quite a working class city, right? So people love to have fun and they love their sports. You've got the Red Sox, you've got the New England Patriots, which play at the stadium where Scotland were at. You've got Boston Celtics as well. So you've got like, it's a huge sporting city anyway. And the Scottish fans are completely unlike other fans. And I don't really know why, but they're just better drunk. They're not aggressive. They can really like handle their booze. And like, there's a lot of similarities with Bostonians there. And everyone has just got on so unbelievably well. Like, you see like the traffic cones and they're putting them on like all of these statues around the city. And it's like, the vibe is so different. It doesn't feel like vandalism. It's not like you're smashing statues or you're graffitiing on them. You're just having a little bit of fun, like putting it on the head. Like, it's just fun. It's good crack. And no matter where you walk, everywhere I was walking yesterday, like I walked for like maybe like 2 hours yesterday just around the city, every major statue just had like a traffic cone on its head. There were kilts everywhere. There were bagpipes everywhere. Like, I couldn't... Before the first Haiti game was genuinely the best vibe of anything I've ever been to, including like Glastonbury, including like Champions League finals, including anything. Like, the vibe was just unbelievable. I was just walking around the city. Everyone was in a kilt. Bagpipes were playing everywhere. The sun was shining. Everyone was just buzzing. Like, bro, to the point that the Boston mayor was like signing things. They've posted like on Instagram, like, thank you so much for the Tartan Army for coming here, for being here, for embracing our city. It's just been amazing. It's been
I can't lie, the Scots, they've won. They've won when it comes to embedding in the culture and really, really, you know, taking over cities. And just being the vibe. So big them up. Big up the Scots. After the break, we will talk more about the next stage of the World Cup. Who's going to be the superstar? Who's going to be the standout? And a quick little bit of England chat as well, straight after this. Damn, I shouldn't have spoke about the superstars. Now. I didn't even realise. Anyway, fuck it. 3, 2, 1. We're going to...
You might have to do it again, to be fair. You can't
throw things. Yeah, we've got to England chat. All right. The Scots have won, Kim, we must say. They've won when it comes to just embedding in the culture, embedding in the vibes and really bringing the Tartan Army, which I actually like the name. I love that name. Bringing it here to the States. So big them up every time. They're winning when it comes to that department. But after the break, we'll be talking all things England and what is it looking like for them for the back end or the second half of this World Cup after this.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
Now, of course, there's still a few group games left. They've got Ghana, they've got Panama. Big up my Panamanian friend Vince every time. But yeah, there's England are looking very good. I can't lie. And it's hard because you did what I did. You said that first game, I think it could come home. We can't do that. By the way, I think that needs to be banned.
I always do it. But I like to get excited. I like to get excited. And honestly, I know everyone's speaking about it. But the fact that we were 3-2 up and he makes three attacking changes, it's like, I loved Gareth Southgate. I love Southgate. I didn't want Tuchel. I wanted Southgate. And I think even if we still had Southgate, I'd still be saying it was coming home because I loved him and he brought the vibes. But he would never have done that. He would never, ever have made those three attacking changes. And I do just think that that is the difference between Tuchel. You could see at halftime it was 2-2 and he was like ripping his hair out. Southgate, if it was 2-2 at halftime against Croatia, would be like, oh, calm down, lads. It's fine. It's fine. But Tuchel was literally ripping his hair out. And then he makes three attacking changes. And one of them, Marcus Rashford, scores instantly. Yeah. I really do feel very, very confident. I think it's good that we conceded a couple goals as well, because I feel like that sort of showed where our weakness was. And then you can work on that. I think it's better to win 4-2 than win like 4-5-0. And you don't really get a test. And I think we got a good test. I mean, they only had two shots on target and they scored them both, which is pretty unlucky. But it was a good test nonetheless.
So I didn't know.
I just think moving forward, I'm confident, man. Like if we smash Ghana, which, let's be honest, is likely, they didn't look that great. And there'll be 95% of people in that stadium will be England fans. It will feel like a home game. Out here in Boston, and I'm confident. What did you make of it, though?
I was in Detroit in a sports bar. I was in awe of what you just said there of Thomas Tuchel and his bravery. And obviously, I come from following my club Arsenal with Mikel Arteta this season, and he at times, especially towards the back end of the season, would get to that stage where it's 2-2 or 3-2, and kind of try and see out the win by not making the attacking change, maybe making defensive change, maybe trying to sit the fire, maybe trying to see out. So seeing your manager bring on, obviously, Bukayo Saka, of course, got to highlight that. Marcus Rashford as well. Again, I'm a big fan of him as well, massive fan of him actually. And the impact they had instantly just warmed my heart. And the fact that there's players that he didn't bring off the bench who actually have really good quality. The Ollie Watkins, Ivan Tonys, and they're still yet to feature. It just shows that, you know, the strength in depth, and that gives me confidence that we're going to go far. But I will say, well, first I want to highlight, we played Croatia. I think a lot of teams, a lot of nations are having good results or good performances, and no one's really saying, yeah, but look who they're playing. Apart from people back at home, I think, in England, because I've spoken to a lot of them. Every time I bring it up, they're like, yeah, but look who they're playing. But I think when you're here, no one's really saying, because some of those smaller nations have done shock results where it's draws or they've upped their level, no one's really highlighting that who they're playing might determine, you know, some of those score lines, like when Canada beat Qatar and all. I know, like, they just said they've highlighted how good the result is and how good they are, which I kind of did earlier. But I have to highlight that when we play Croatia normally, they're kind of a bogey nation for us. They always throw up problems for us. So I just feel like I've got to give England a lot of credit, because that is a tough first. And it's a tough first game as well. Not because, well, one, because Croatia are a really good nation, but also like there's a heaps of pressure on England. And I'm not saying there's not heaps of pressure on the likes of Brazil, France, even the US, right? But I would say England have that. They're one of those nations where they fall into, there's a whole heap of pressure from the media and the fans. Because we are a footballing nation and we believe, you know, this is our sport, it's got to come home. So, like, I want to give England more credit because it's their first game and they didn't really seem like they had a load of fear and a load of worry, which I think Thomas Tuchel's done a really good job in instilling that into the players, because I think that is that's a big factor when it comes to the World Cup, especially for England, is the mental
side. Yeah, there was no nerves, was there? It didn't seem like there was that much nerve. No. And I feel like he's got players playing... Maybe Southgate did as well. Maybe it's just international. But I think, like, you look at, like, Madueke, who's not that great. Like, respectfully, he's not that great. He wasn't that great for Chelsea. He's not that great for Arsenal. But he was probably man of the match the other day.
That's what I have a yeah, I'm always a defender of Nonny Madueke because, again, like, a lot of fans do, that's what they do, especially Arsenal fans do the same thing. They're like, he's not that great. End product's not good enough. And in the first game, obviously, he had a really big opportunity that he missed. And I think a lot of fans keep highlighting that, like, he needs to improve. But I'm a big fan of Nonny Madueke. And like you said, I think he was the standout. And I felt bad for him. I don't know him, but I can kind of, from my time at Arsenal, I can see when he's a bit frustrated. When he come off, he seemed annoyed that he was coming off. And I get that because he was having a good game. But you're right. I think that's why I mentioned it. Like, he's a player that's under extreme pressure. Like, he won the league with Arsenal, but no one's really given him the credit. And I still don't feel like he feels like he's fully loved yet. And then same for England. Like, he's known as Saka's replacement and he's still not getting the love, but he had such a good game. But that's a lot of pressure to go into that game. And it didn't really seem like he was under pressure at all. He literally was playing the way, like, he was running at his man at every opportunity. And I'm like, yes, Nonny. So I've got to give credit to Thomas Tuchel for that, because he's obviously instilling something that they're not really listening to the noise and they're doing what he's set out. He's obviously has a game plan. He has a game plan from his selection of the players that he's brought with him. He has a game plan of what he needs to do to get deep into this competition, if not win it. The one thing I will mention as well for England is I was a fan of Gareth Southgate as well, I must say. Only because he's done things for England that he has got deep in competitions that we've never really seen. Apart from, obviously, back when, way before I was born. So I've got to give him a lot of credit and I've got a lot of love for Gareth Southgate. But Thomas Tuchel has a heaps of pressure, which it's not really been speaking about right now because he won his first game and it's early in the competition. But when I speak to fans here in New York and I'm walking around, they're not saying it's coming home because they don't want to say it, but they're also like, he has to get deep into this competition because Gareth Southgate has got far in a lot of in the Euros, obviously finals, and in the World Cup, he got to, I think the quarters were set, where he got to the quarters, definitely, when he played France. So I'm just like, he has to get into the knockout stages and do quite well. Of course, we want it to come home, but he's under pressure. He can't now fail in his group stages, and it's a lot easier to get through anyway. He can't fail there. And then in that first round of 16 or whatever, I expect to go through. And I shouldn't say that because there's a lot of good nations.
Yeah.
You have that pressure because Gareth Southgate done so well. So I'm loving it right now. Everyone's on the Thomas Tuchel train and it's coming home and the vibes are good. But I'm trying to take the pressure away from the players and say, you are the new manager. You do have this pressure to go far because Gareth Southgate has set a standard. Even though we got rid of him and everyone wanted him out, he set a standard where you have to go quite deep in this competition. And I think that's fair. And we have the quality to do it. We do in that team. I've got to have to highlight that. But big up England. It's been amazing so far. And let's hope against Ghana we can get the win. Right. That's it. That's it for today's show. I'm apologies for that abrupt.
That flew by, didn't it, by the way?
Yeah, like, because I was just trying to, that's why I kind of came to an abrupt end. I'm like, this time has been running, but I feel like it's been really nice, Kim, just catching up with you, just getting your experience, getting what the World Cup really has been like over here. And I think this is a good voice for people that are wondering what it's like in America. Because again, before we came out here, there's a lot of publications about what it's going to be like. It could be the worst World Cup and the States should never be a host for the World Cup. But I'm telling you, when you're here, it's completely different. It's an absolute joy. It's an absolute joy. Kim's going to be soon here in New York and he's going to love it. I can't wait to be texting him and actually catching up with him, probably actually on the show about me being back in the UK because I fly back.
I wish you were staying out, man.
Oh, don't do that. Because I've had a few phone calls and messages to try and keep me here, but I do need to go back. I've been traveling from Ethiopia to the States. I need to go back to my house and see my family. But listen, that's it for today's VAR. Are you serious? Apologies that you may not have got some of the features that we tend to involve in this show, but it's been a really good show. And like I said, it's given me the full picture of what the World Cup's really been like through the eyes of Kim Kafari and myself, Cecil G. Thank you for plugging in. We'll see you again next week. Lots of love. You're listening to VAR You Serious, brought to you by Fubar Radio. Take care.
VAR You Serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.